All right, good deal. Now, this morning, I would like to talk to you about God and His Word to us. There have been so many things happening in our nation, so many hearts that are misled, and the things that they take action on, or that they say and do in life just for themselves or even as a thing for the world to see. And I want to talk to you this morning. I want to share with you this morning why it's important for us as Christians that we continue to keep our mind focused on Christ and His will for us. And so I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Romans chapter 8 this morning. And we'll begin reading in verse number 5, Romans 8, verse number 5. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us, for your blessings in our life individually, for the blessings in our life as a family, for the blessings that we have in this fellowship with you. And Father, I pray, keep us strong, keep our attention on you and our words and our deeds focused on how you would have us to honor you as you have honored us. And Lord, strengthen us in this time. Strengthen us in our love and in our will to be your people. And we ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, I could get a lot of testimony from us, couldn't I? I could stand here and give you testimony myself about how I have failed in life, how I have sought to serve myself before I sought to serve God. And we need to understand as a body in Christ, as an individual in Christ, it's not our will, individually or corporately, it is God's will that we are seeking to fulfill. He has called us. And He's called us for a reason. He didn't call us so we could wear a billboard saying, hey, look at me, I'm saved. He called us so we could take the message of salvation out to those who are still lost and share it with them so they can see and hear there is hope in a world filled with darkness. And how many of you know that the world is filled with darkness? Even in our own families, we see it. We don't have to look across the street at the neighbor. We can look at our own families and see it. We can look at our own life and see it. So this is not a finger-pointing session. This is a moment to look at ourselves and to challenge ourselves about who we are. We can't straighten anybody out. It's up to God to save. It's not up to us to save. It's only up to us to carry the message of hope and of joy. And we can't do it if our minds are filled with things of the world and thoughts of the world, and we're being carnally minded. We can't please God. You see, even here he says, those who are carnally minded, they live according to the flesh, and that's the will of the flesh, where self is still first, and whatever else comes behind it, including God. And carnally minded people cannot please God. Cannot please God. But two, we want to remember we're talking about sin. And there is a gentleman who has long since gone into his glory with Christ. His name was Thomas Watson, and he was a Puritan preacher back in the 1600s. That's a long time ago, isn't it? I want you to hear something that he wrote. He said, "Who would have thought to found adultery in David, and drunkenness in Noah, and cursing in Job? If God leaves a man to himself, how suddenly and scandalously may sin break forth in the holiest man on earth? And I say unto you all, watch. A wandering heart needs a watchful eye." Isn't that true? How true is that, even in our world today? It doesn't change because we get smarter as the generations pass, because we become more mature and we understand life better. And I'll tell you this, God doesn't adapt and change to our standards of morality, for which I am very thankful for. The blood on the cross still matters. It is still holy, and it brings us to righteousness, and we must learn to honor that. We must remember how to honor that. And we must live as God's people. And we must say to the world, there is sin, there is righteousness, there is holiness, and there is evil. And to live in a state of evilness is to live against God. And you cannot please Him to be carnally minded. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. And in each one of those that I've mentioned, David, he set his mind on the things of the world, on the flesh. Noah, dealing with all of his trauma, and he surrendered and gave himself over to drunkenness. And what a sinful state that was. And what a great tragedy followed that. And Job, whom God allowed to be tested, even cursing. Who would have thought it? That someone so close to Jesus, to knowing God, would do things to dishonor Him in such a way. Who would have ever thought that Peter would have stood in the courtyard and said, "I don't know Him"? And I'm putting it nicely. Because, you know, Peterman was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. That's a lot like saying he was a sailor. For those of you who might understand what I mean by that. Peter was strong-willed and he didn't mind sticking his foot in his mouth. God didn't leave him nor forsake him. He didn't abandon him. He called him back and even challenged him. "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" I hope I never offend God so much so that He has to ask me 3 times if I still love Him. But it's possible if I don't keep my mind on the things that are right, that are of God, if I don't keep myself spiritually minded in the way that God has called me to. And we must be watchful, because Jesus Himself said this: out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And these are the things which defile a man. And He was talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all of the people, and they were challenging Him, and they were talking about what defiles a man. And Jesus, He was talking, He said, it doesn't matter what you eat. It's not what goes into the body that defiles you. It's what comes out from your heart that defiles you. And I want you to see something here. He said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. And that's where the seeds are born and planted. In the hearts and in our minds. And Jesus will even go on to say, it doesn't matter if you didn't actually murder the person, if you had hate in your heart so much for them and in your mind, you may as well have committed the act of murder anyway. He says our thoughts can be evil to the point that we defile ourselves. How many of you like hearing that today? Jesus was teaching, and we saw this in our Sunday night study this last week. It was brought up where he was talking about his body being the bread and the wine, his body broken and his blood. And he says, if you don't partake of this, you can't have a part of me. And the people began to think he was crazy, because he was talking about his body and his blood. And he was saying to them, you are going to have to kill me. You're going to have to spill my blood. And in doing so, you are partaking. You are eating and drinking the new covenant that I am establishing in my body and in my blood. And the disciples began to walk away and not follow him anymore. And he knew that the 12 were even questioning why he was teaching such a hard thing. And they said, this is so hard to understand. He said, well, are you going to leave too? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves this morning when we challenge ourselves about even what we think. Are you ready to just leave now because God has challenged you? Are you going to walk away from Christ because it's just too hard of a thing to take what he's saying to you? Now let's give credit to Peter where it's due too, because Peter said something in this moment that we all ought to have the strength to say, where else could I go? If I leave you, Jesus, where else could I go? Because I already know who you are. I know who you are. Where else would I go? Yes, you hurt my feelings, Lord. Oh. How many of you ever had your mama or your daddy tell you, grow up? How many of you ever read the scripture and you see where in the scripture it says it's time to quit drinking the milk and start eating some of the meat? That's walking with Christ. And that's being part of Christ and being the Christian that he wants us to be. And to keep ourselves reminded that we cannot be a carnally minded people. And out of all of these things that Jesus says are the things that defile a man, do you know what these are? These are sin choices in life. Sin choices. How many of you like to make lists? Write a list. And at the top put my choices to sin and my choices not to sin. Go ahead and put this under to sin, okay, all of these things. And there should only be one thing under the other side, not to sin, to remember Christ as he remembers me, to give myself for Christ as he gave himself for me. Paul tells us we're called to be a living sacrifice. You know what it means to be a living sacrifice? It means that we feel the pain of what we're going through. We feel the pain of having to submit our will to his will. We feel the pain of submitting to whatever's going on around us in the world. And sometimes remaining silent because God wouldn't be honored in what we might say or do. Being a living sacrifice means we feel the hurt that comes with the situation we are in. The problem with being a living sacrifice is it's really easy to get up and walk off the altar when it hurts too much, because we have forgotten what it really means to honor God sometimes. I shared something this morning on my Facebook page. I want to share it with you. I want you to hear this because it's so important. If our understanding of biblical righteousness diminishes, then so too does our sense of duty to be what God calls us and expects us to be. And as our understanding of holiness diminishes, so also will our sense of harm that is caused by sin. righteousness and holiness. We have to stay in that path that is filled with righteousness and holiness. And we can only stay there if we keep our minds spiritually centered in Christ. We cannot release that control to the flesh. It's too easy to get derailed. It's too easy to fall on our face and to really bang ourselves up. It's too easy. And sometimes we fall anyway because we forget. We're not by ourselves. We have our church family. We have our friends. But more than that, we have Christ who is with us every day. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So why do we stop listening to that soul that is in us, that spirit that is with us? Why? To be carnally minded is to be at war with God. And to be carnally minded means that we are living in the flesh, and the flesh cannot please God. Now perhaps that's all you've heard this morning, is that you can't please God, but I want to tell you something. There is hope. There is hope. And it's in Jesus Christ. And he says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He's saying to us there's opportunity for us to enter into the kingdom of God, but we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And we're not talking about baptism as we did this morning. That water doesn't cleanse us or save us from sin. That's our profession of faith before the world. The same as John the Baptist was baptizing people and they were getting dunked and they were making a new confession of repentance before God, and they were walking a different way, but they still didn't know about Jesus and the baptism that was to come. But the baptism that saves us is the baptism that comes from the Spirit. The indwelling and the washing of the Spirit. And for technical senses, in case you don't know, being baptized by water, do you know what that means? Every one of us in here was baptized by water when we were born. And our mother's water broke. We entered into the world by baptism of water. And we were born in the flesh, and we were born into sin. And we were born without life in Jesus. But he comes to us, and he comes to us through his word and through the actions of others and through the Spirit, and he teaches us that if we can admit washes us, regenerates us unto new life. This back here, it doesn't matter if I hold you down for 10 seconds or 10 hours. Because either way, you're dead if you aren't saved. Right? If I hold you under for 10 hours, you're just going to know you're dead sooner than you will if I hold you under for 10 seconds. But you're still going to find out you're dead. Because you're dead in sin. You have not been forgiven. You have not been washed and made clean. You are not covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. But there is hope. We can enter the kingdom. Therefore, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed, and behold, all things have become new. All things are new. The old things are gone. I don't look at the old things and say, man, I wish I was still doing that. How many of us miss old friends, though, that we can't really spend time with anymore because there's two different lives being lived? You know, we can still carry our witness to our friends. We can still carry our love to our friends. But we can close the door when sin is invited in. We don't forget people. We don't walk away from people. And we never hate people. Because Christ doesn't. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. And that's what he's calling us to be. His people. And we can be a new creation in Christ. And we can enter into the kingdom of God. Even now in this earthly life, we can walk as if we're in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God, though it's there, it's still here within. The world can see it. You think the world doesn't know the difference between someone that's given to the flesh or someone that's given to God? The world knows. The world knows. But so does God. And that's the one we're seeking to please. In Romans 6 it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. It's the same thing I shared this morning. Buried in the likeness of his death, but risen in the likeness of his life. That's what we're doing. We're showing the world. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. And Jesus loves me. Oh, by the way, he loves you too. You want to come to the table? You want to come to the wonderful meeting we're all going to have that one day in glory by and by? It's going to happen. The day is coming when God's words will be fulfilled. And all of this will be known. It was real. It was true. Why didn't somebody convince me? That's what they'll say. Why didn't somebody convince me? I'm asking now, before that day comes, why aren't you listening now? Why aren't you listening now? Tomorrow's too late. We have many options to choose from that lead to death, but we only have one option that leads to life, and that's Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Do you know many people will walk away from that hard saying because they just can't believe God would only give us one option? You know, there was only one option in the Garden of Eden that brought destruction on mankind. Just leave that one tree alone. You got all these other trees in the garden, and you want that one. You want that one. Isn't that like us? We've got all this we can have, but I really want that one right there. Sold. It's already got a sold sign on it. I don't care. I want it. I'll pay you more for it. I'll give you everything. I'll give you my soul if I can just have it. That's the way they go. I'll give you my soul if I can just have the moment. A moment or eternity. You know, the world now has flipped that philosophy around on us because God says there's only one tree you can eat from, the tree of life, and that's in Christ. And there's so many trees out there, and the world says, hey, don't worry about the one. Look at all these other options. Isn't it amazing how the enemy just flips the argument around and people are still dying because they won't stop listening to the enemy. There is a way and it's Jesus. There is a life and it's Jesus. And there's only one path to the Father. And it only goes through Jesus. Jesus alone. Do you know him as Lord and Savior? Are you still carnally minded? You might know him. You do well. The demons know and tremble. You know what I don't see in people though? Oh, I know God. I don't see any fear at all. But the demons, they tremble. Because they do know. And I'm asking you today, don't just know Him. Be born again by Him. And call Him Father and Savior. And call Him friend. And call upon Him for the forgiveness of sins. To have this hope and this joy. And I'm asking you to come now. While we have this time. Jesus loves you. He gave Himself for you. Will you come? While the time is here. Father, I thank You so much again for this day. I thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy upon us. Father, I thank You that we can have the hope and the joy that we have in You. And that life eternal with You is coming. Father, we thank You so much. So much that we have this testimony to share. And I pray, Father, our testimony honors You and not ourselves. Father, we give You this time. We give it to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will You come while there's time?